Well, did you know there is a world happiness report? It's a report ranking countries on happiness, a report that's links happiness to our well-being, to our health and our wealth. It's a real report. It comes out every year ranking the countries in degrees of happiness. I didn't look too far. Google it. I wonder where Australia is on that report. But this happiness report makes sense for two human desires are happiness and prosperity. The writer of Psalm 1 agrees. It says, blessed is the one, or blessed is the man. Now, blessed in its fullest meaning is oh, the blessedness of the man, or oh, the happiness of the man. I think this happiness is not limited, but you get a sense it's a multitude of blessings, a multitude of different forms of happiness. Oh, the blessednesses, if that's a word. And whatever the man of happiness does, he prospers. Happiness and prosperity. And as we now have an eye to coming out of this isolation, there is hope that life will return to normal. The economy will bounce back quickly and will return to prosperity, which apparently will make us all happy again. But I want to ask, as we look forward to that time, I want us to look back for a moment before the virus and before isolation. I want to look back at happiness. Did you have it? Did you have enough happiness? Or are you ready to pick up where you left off in pursuit of happiness, trying to find it or trying to buy it or even make it? What about prosperity? Were you secure enough? Do you have enough savings? Do you have enough super? Do you have enough power and influence at work? Are you secure or prosperous enough? See, I think Psalm 1 describes a life of happiness and prosperity, of delight and fruitfulness. I think it's striking that this is the main idea of this first psalm. You know, the first psalm is an introduction to the whole book of Psalms. Surely righteousness or obedience or a love of God is the pursuit of man more than happiness. But I think God's desire from the very beginning is for his people to be blessed or happy. So what does it mean to be blessed or happy or fortunate? Is it as the world thinks? And so a few questions in this psalm is, why is this man so blessed? Why is he so happy or so fortunate? Don't you want to know what such a man would look like who had such blessednesses? Don't you desire to be like him? Or blessed is the man. And I think we see in this psalm two characteristics laid out for us. A formula of life, if you like. The man who does not and the man who does. The blessed man who does not, he rejects a way of life. Verse 1, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sits in the company of mockers. See, I think what is on view is this man does not seek the counsel or the advice. He does not walk over and ask the wicked, hey, what are you doing? He doesn't walk over to check them out, nor does he bear to be found with sinners. That doesn't mean we don't mix with sinners. We, as Jesus, sat with sinners. But I think to be standing with them in their pursuits, to tag along, maybe to try before you buy is a way to talk about the way that sinners take. He never takes a seat at the table of mockers. I think to take a seat is to give your allegiance to something or someone. He doesn't wear the company colours of the mockers. You won't find a blessed man in such company thinking this is where happiness and prosperity is found. But did you notice there is a very subtle progression in this walk? It starts with a casual walk and then a lingering stand before a permanent seat. Well, this was a picture of me at Macquarie. I started out walking the walk, then I took my stand, and then I finally nailed my colours to the corporate flag of greed, success and power, all in the search, I thought, of happiness and prosperity. But as I look back on that time, it happened over 10 years. I started out as a Christian. I started out, I was doing youth group. I was attending church. And before long, it was almost like stealth. I look back and there were very subtle steps. You know, those small moments of lingering back at work or sitting at the big table. And each year it just escalated and eventually consumed by that world, but by the grace of God. But the blessed man marches to a different drum. The world has no power or influence or pull over this man of blessednesses. In this isolation, I think it's easy for us to be complacent at the moment, thinking that wickedness of the world, it's just out there. And thankful it has no influence on me at the moment. But I think we need to be careful. See, wickedness starts in the heart. It's what our heart desires. It's not so much what catches your eye at the moment, more of what do you long for? Happiness and prosperity? How do we end up in the ways of the wicked? Well, I think it comes at the end of a long process of distracted focus. See, I don't think one just falls into adultery or pornography or cheating on your taxes or greed. See, no one walks or stands or sits out of duty, but rather because we want to. And for what the world throws at us every day, it's attractive, isn't it? And it's how easily the worldliness can consume us and eventually take over us. So how is your walk? Who are you standing with? Whose table are you desiring to be sitting at for happiness and prosperity? Well, the second characteristic of the blessedness of this man is in verse 2. It's there on the screen. Who delights in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night? See, here is a man whose gaze is different to those around him. He has a joy, a delight in his life. See, happiness is found in the law of the Lord. Literally, it means the Torah, God's instructions, his teaching, his self-disclosure in the Bible, where we see it's God speaking to the man. Oh, the blessednesses of the man who delights in the law of the Lord. But I wonder, is that what you expected? Surely it's to delight in the Lord himself. God said, you shall have no other God before me. See, delight in the law of the Lord is not just to know things about God. I think delight in the world is to delight in God himself, for these are his words to us. And to know him, to truly know him with all our heart, is to delight in meeting him in his word. And to know him for who he is, the creator of the world speaking to you. I think that's a remarkable and what a thing to delight in. Romans 12, it's not just the renewing of the mind, the right thinking about God, but that which leads to a transformed life, that comes through a transformed heart. See, what comes out of our mouth reveals our heart. Now, I don't always delight in the law of the Lord or meditate on it day or night. But this man's highest joy is God's word. His pleasure and delight is God. Rather than walking with the wicked and standing with sinners or sitting with the mockers. He meditates day and night. Every thought and dream, desire, he seeks advice and counsel from the best source. That's God. So I wonder in those moments when you're idle and your mind starts to wander, what do you daydream about? Those lustful thoughts come into mind, the desire for more, the longing to keep up with the Joneses. Or what are your hopes and wants, for they reveal your heart? Oh, the blessedness of the man that delights in the law of the Lord. I wonder, have you met someone like that? What would they look like? Or verse 3. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. Now, the man is like a tree, you can picture a big fig tree with deep, solid roots. And it's a tree that is planted. This is not a random act of a seed that is blown and lands randomly in the soil. No, this tree is planted strategically and deliberately planted by someone. And it's planted in the best possible place to grow and flourish and prosper. See, it's planted close to the streams of water where its roots can draw on what it needs to grow and stand firm throughout all the seasons. And life of this tree is sustained by streams of water in abundant supply. This tree doesn't wither in times of drought or intense heat, for its roots reaches and search and finds its provider, its sustainer. And there by this stream, the tree drinks. Its thirst is quenched, seen in the fruit it produces in season. He is fruitful and endures and prospers. This tree is, you get a picture of something that is secure, unmovable and unshakable. Oh, the blessednesses of the man. What a picture. Well, verse 4 says, not so the wicked. They are anything but secure. There is no fruit. There is no resilience or sustainability. It may look like it's going well on the outside or the surface of the wicked. On the outside, they seem to have everything together. But in their life, there's no substance. There's no deep roots. See, a life lived without the true source of life, the streams of water. See, without the word of God that the blessed man meditates on, a man is like chaff. You know, that case around the seed that is easily blown away by the wind. It's discarded, for it has no life. A life lived without the word of God eventually leads to the day when it will shrink and dry up. When the ways of the world tempt you, remember the drift. Well, verse 5, therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. See, what I think we're faced with in this psalm is simply two ways to live. The distinction is not between who is righteous and who is unrighteous. The contrast here is the way of the life of the righteous compared to the life of the wicked. And the choice is yours. It's clear there is no sitting on the fence. You can't have a foot in both camps. There's just two ways to live. Which of these two ways are you following? Which way does your heart desire to go? Do you fall under the way of the righteous? Well, let's have a look at the standards again. Do you never seek the counsel of the wicked? Do you always delight in the word of the Lord? Well, I can't. In fact, at times, meditating on the word of God is anything but a delight. God's word cuts deep at times. And it's easy for the desires of the world to distract us and attract us again and take a seat at its table. The temptation to listen to worldly counsel is in our ears every day. So who is this man of verse 1? This man of blessednesses. Such a man seems out of reach, doesn't it? Can anyone do this? Well, who comes to your mind, especially as we read the Psalms? Well, it's David, isn't it? Look at Psalm 19. We'll look at this more closely in a few weeks. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. Oh, they're sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. There is a man who delights in the law of the Lord, isn't there? But David didn't endure, did he? Well, neither did his son or all the leaders or all the kings of Israel. For they walked in the counsel of the wicked. They all failed. So where do we find this man of Psalm 1, a leader of God's people? Well, it's Jesus. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Could this be the king Israel's looking for? A man who didn't walk in the ways of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the company of mockers. The man of Psalm 1, the man who delights in the law of the Lord when tempted by Satan, who only does what the Father does, speaks only what the Father speaks, the one who does the will of the Father, the one who dies for the wicked and the sinners, he who dies for those who mocked him, whose fruit is salvation, whose end will never come. His way is the way of righteousness. Whatever he does prospers. Oh, the blessedness of the man, Jesus. Friends, if Jesus is your king, if you put your trust in him, the blessednesses, the happiness that are his are now yours. Not because of what you do, but because of who Jesus is and what he's done for you. See, I will never totally avoid the counsel of the wicked or reject the ways of sinners or sit with the mockers as I should. You know, I will never fully delight in the law of God or meditate day or night as I ought. But I will, by God's grace and mercy, be grafted into the tree that is planted by streams of water. See, for in Jesus is a stream of living water, the word that became flesh, that springs to life, that will never go dry, will never run out, but offer life in its abundance, where true happiness and prosperity is found. We are grafted by grace and mercy into the tree of life to bear fruit that will never wither and be blown away by the changing winds of the world and its desires. For in him I'm grounded and rooted and secured in the one who is God in the flesh. See, my salvation doesn't depend on my righteousness, but on Jesus, the righteous one, in whom I've been grafted in, chosen by God, and those whom the Father gives to the Son will never let go. As our heart desires happiness and prosperity and security, where and who will you walk, stand and sit with? Oh, the blessedness of the man Jesus. Walk with him. Take your stand with him. Sit at his table and feed on him by faith to know and taste that the Lord is good and bear the fruit of righteousness, of true happiness and prosperity. See, as we take our journey through the Psalms, I pray we'll delight in the law of the Lord. Not just to know things about God, but to know him and to grow in our devotion to him. to see the man of Psalm 1 in the Psalms, to see Jesus and to seek his counsel through his word. The streams of living water that well up into life in all its abundance, that wells up to eternal life, and by his spirit to be transformed, to be more like him, to bear fruit. Oh, the blessedness of the man, happiness and prosperity are found in Jesus.